After the sermon, we will sing together from Psalter 119, stanzas 4 and 6. Psalter 119, the 4th and the 6th stanza. We will listen to God's word this morning from Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. The text for the sermon is Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Beloved congregation, God's word uses several words to describe the life of faith, spiritual life. And it can use different words like running or walking. Paul writes in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, I follow after if that I may apprehend. And that is a word with a sense of chasing, running with haste, going after something. Running the race. Words which describe any kind of effort, exertion, strain. But the gospel also uses words like walking in all tranquility, having contact with the Lord, walking. And that is said of Enoch in our text. Enoch walked with God. And the theme for this morning is exactly the same. Enoch walked with God. And we will think and listen to what it is. What is walking with God? And we will listen to the question, how is that possible? How is it possible to walk with God? And where does walking with God lead? So, 3 points in the theme Enoch walked with God, what this is, how it is possible, and where it leads. The 5th chapter of the first book of Moses, congregation, shows us in particular the consequences of our disastrous fall in sin. Being born, getting sons and daughters, living a couple of years, and then again and again that saddening refrain, and he died. How many graves are dug in this world since our fall in sin? And Proverbs 30 says it and asks the question, but also says, the grave saith not, it is enough. And if that is the case, it raises the question, if the end of a human life is a mourning card and a grave, has mankind be created for naught? Who is there who saves his soul from the grave? So chapter 5 has a saddening refrain time after time. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. It's like the ringing of the church bell. And suddenly this is interrupted by verse 24. The witness about Enoch. He lived, and he was not, for God took him. And it seems to be a very encouraging testimony, doesn't it? And it is a special testimony. If it can be testified of somebody that he walked with God and God took him. But it is the exception. And it is not the exception in the ungodly generation of Cain. And then you can say, well, all those ungodly families, well, there was one who walked with God. But you know, this is the testimony of those, the exception of the one in the generation of Seth and Enos, the exception in the church-going families of the old days. Among all those that still called upon the name of the Lord, it is only said of one, he walked with God. In all those families where the fear of the Lord should be, there's just one. It is a beautiful testimony, but imagine that this is said of this congregation, of all these church-going families, and he died, and he died, and he died, and there is one in this congregation that walked with God. So that's the first application. If we continue to listen to God's word, this is a first application. How is this among us, the church-going families? Who is walking with God? Then it's necessary to know what it is to walk with God. What is walking with God? We find the expression of walking with God four times in God's word. It's said of Enoch, it's said of Noah, it's said in Ecclesiastes, and also the prophet Micah says it in chapter 6, where the prophet says that the true service of the Lord is, he hath shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And of course, the Bible uses different words to say and to express the same thing. The Lord says to Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Or Moses instructs the people of Israel to walk in the ways of the Lord and to keep his statutes. So, walking with God. Enoch walked with God. What is it? Well, the form of the verb in Hebrew used has something to do with strolling. If you walk, you can walk, you're walking, you're going to a certain goal. You walk there. You can do that on your own. If you wander, you don't have a goal, you're just walking around a bit and maybe are a kind of lost. But the Hebrew form of the word used here is something in between. It's not walking on your own to a certain place. It's not wandering that you don't know where to go, but it's like strolling, to take a walk with somebody else. I will use the word walking because the King James uses the word, but what is walking? It is like, what kind of walking is meant? It is like this. A man walks with his wife. Or a friend walks with his friend. Or a child walks with his father. And during this walk, there is contact. You can speak to each other. You can listen to each other. You can even say confidential things to each other. There can be a conversation from heart to heart. That kind of walking. So Enoch walked with God. He had contact with God. He walked with him. He talked with him as with a friend. He walked with God as a child walks with his father or mother. And daily, Enoch walked with God during his life. So what is walking with God? Walking with God is believing that the Lord is there and is with you. It's sharing in the presence of the Lord. in the communion with God, to live and to breathe in the love of God, that His friendly eyes are upon you, and that His fatherly hand holds you, that His godly voice is the voice of the shepherd that's ringing through in your heart and in your soul. It's like Psalm 25. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will shew them His covenant. It's a life of listening and speaking. Speaking and listening. And Enoch did this for 300 years. And in those 300 years, there was no way he went where God says, Enoch, I can't go with you there. This is a sinful path. In everything Enoch did or thought or where he went, God was with him and could go with him. Walking with God is what the form of our of administration of baptism says. It calls it cleaving to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to trust in Him, to love Him with all our hearts, all our souls, with all our mind, all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new, godly life. Godly life. Walking with God is a godly life. And a godly life is so full of God and so filled with the love of God that everything is pushed aside which does not belong to that contact. Walking with God is a way of life that in which all the things which does not fit with God are pushed aside. Everything that which is not in harmony with God's will, you get rid of. It's a life in which you long to go in the ways of the Lord. It's a personal, confidential contact with God. And when you walk with God, you also learn to ask Him, to pray, look into my heart. Look into my life and see if there is any wrong. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there is any wicked way and lead me in the way everlasting. Walking with God, there's nothing in between. May I use the example of a boy and a girl who are dating? If you have a quarrel with each other, you don't like to go for a walk, do you? There is something in between. Walking with each other is only possible and having contact from heart to heart if there is nothing in between. Enoch walked with God 300 years, and God could be with him everywhere where he went. But that raises a next question, doesn't it? How is that possible? God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. How can he walk with a descendant of Adam? Because the chapter started with, this is the book of generations of Adam. And we all know what Adam and Eve did and what it brought upon the generations after them. Guilt and sin and... How can they go together? Because it's also for Enoch true that God is a consuming fire and no one can dwell in his presence as a sinner. How could Enoch walk with God? How is it possible? Well, maybe someone says to this morning, well, then Enoch must have been a hermit or a recluse. Because through the ages, through the centuries, there have been people who thought that if you want to live close to the Lord, you have to get rid of the society, to withdraw from public life. So Walking with God requires that you become a hermit or a recluse. Is that the case? No, it won't help. We can enter into a monastery, but we take our sinful hearts within the walls of a monastery. Luther experienced that. And of course, we have to avoid sinful places. But the Lord does not require from us that we withdraw from public life. We have a task in this world to live according God's word, to shine the light of the gospel. We have an earthly task, and that's part of a service of the Lord. Enoch was not a hermit. He begat sons and daughters. He was married. He had to deal daily with the difficulties of his growing children, family life. The busyness of family life was no hindrance to walk with God. And yet Enoch had to work to provide for his family. But neither his busy work or his busy family life he used as an excuse to neglect his walk with God. Maybe someone else says, well, but those times in which Enoch lived were much different than our time. It was not so hectic. Not so ungodly. There were not so many possibilities as we have today. Not so many opportunities. Well, do you know in which age Enoch lived? He was the seventh of the generation of Seth. But in his days, the seventh in the generation of Cain lived as well, Lamech, who was the summit of ungodliness. It was a time of ungodliness and sinful things. And in the letter of Jude, we read that Enoch has prophesied against the sin of his days. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, and he warned his fellow people. And he testified against the spirit of his own age. The time and the circumstances in which Enoch lived were against a godly life. Well, maybe one of the younger people this morning says, well, if I see his age, he was already old. And old people can live with God. Old age is more appropriate to seek the Lord to live with them, because if you're young, you don't have so much time. Is that true? Nobody knows if he will get old. And ask the older people in the congregation if it's really true, if you're getting older, if you get more time. I often meet older people who are still so busy that they don't have time. And like we can say in Holland, the older, the colder. So many circumstances and events in life or so many things that has happened in their lives that their hearts are more closed to the gospel. They became dull and hardened. And actually, Enoch was not old. He was young. If you compare the age in which he was converted and started to walk with God to all the other ages that are mentioned, he was very young, 65 years old, during a period that people can become 800 or 900 years. He was in the strength of his life. He was in his youth. So nothing of all these reasons made it more easy for Enoch to walk with God. His time was ungodly. He had an ungodly heart himself. He was not a recluse. What then? How was it possible that he walked with God? Well, the prophet Amos answers the question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How can two walk together? Well, when they come together first. Was that Enoch's decision? That he decided one morning, well, from now on, I will walk with the Lord. I'm going to do that. Was it his decision? No. The heart of Enoch was as every other man's heart, hostile and opposed against God. He was a descendant of Adam. So how did they come together? How did this happen? It was an all one-sided work of the Lord. He came to Enoch. That's the miracle of the gospel. He comes to us. He found Enoch. And then his Holy Spirit started to work in the heart of Enoch. And God stretched out his hand to Enoch and he said, I will walk with thee. When did that happen? Did you notice what Moses is telling us? Verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. When he became father, for the first time in his life, something happened. When he was 65, after the birth of his son, Methuselah, he started to walk with God. Such a far-reaching event when that takes place in your life. Something like receiving a child. You start to realize your responsibility, don't you? And those questions that arise in your heart when you look into the crib to a newborn child. What will become of this child? What will he have to experience in this life? In what kind of a world will this child grow up? At that moment, the Lord used to talk to Enoch. And Enoch realized the world in which he lived was a sinful world, and he himself was part of it. And at that time, the Lord spoke to his heart. We can derive that from the name he gives to his son, Methuselah. When he looked into the crib, he realized this sinful world which I am part of cannot continue, cannot go on forever. God will come and judge this world. And he called his son Methuselah, which means as much as when this child dies, it will be sent. Judgment will be sent. Because Enoch realized that I am sinful, but my child is sinful, and God has spoken these words, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he understood that the Lord would come and to visit the iniquities and to judge them. And he prophesies, if my oldest son will pass away, God will judge this world. And this prophecy has been fulfilled. Because when Methuselah dies, God sends the flood. And when Enoch received this message from God's judgment, Enoch understood it for himself personally. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark my iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? I will not. And then Enoch started to seek. Scripture doesn't tell us how, but would it be too strange to think Where does a person go with when he gets those life questions about holy God and his sinful life and the judgment? Where do you go? His oldest grandfather was still alive. Adam was still alive. Is it too strange a thought that Enoch went to Adam's house? Great, great, great grandfather, can you tell me again? Or maybe for the first time, can you tell me how all this happened? And that Adam has told him about God's creation and that God created man perfect in paradise by his own image, but after his own image, but that man had fallen in sin because of their disobedience and became an enemy of the good-doing God, and that therefore all man is subject to eternal and righteous punishment. But Adam, he has also told Enoch about the promise God has given after the fall in sin, the promise of the coming Emmanuel. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I think Enoch shall have gone to his other great-grandfather, because Enos was still alive as well. And under the leadership of Enos, they started to call upon the name of the Lord. And Enoch would have asked, "Grandfather, can you tell me about the name of God? Can you tell me the meaning of the name of the Lord?" And his grandfather has answered Enoch, "Well, boy, in this name is power. And this name is a sure refuge for all those who seek refuge from the judgment. It's a strong tower to dwell. And all those that put their trust in the name of the Lord will not be put ashamed. And he shall have urged Enoch to take refuge to the name of the Lord and to call upon the name in all his need and all his distress, to confess his sin and to pray for mercy." Well, how it went exactly, we don't know, but the Holy Spirit worked in the heart of Enoch. And where the Holy Spirit starts to work in the hearts of a man, he's working faith. And true faith got to know sin, got to confess sin, trust and pleads on God's promises. True faith seeks refuge in the promise of God, calls upon the name of the Lord. Through faith, Enoch walked with God and expected the promised Emmanuel, who would come to cover all iniquities with his perfect and righteous sacrifice before God's eyes. Maybe someone asks by himself or by herself, "Well, minister, do you not put too many things in the text? I just read Enoch walked with God, nothing more, nothing less. There's no word about his confession of sin, no word about his faith in the promise." Well, let me take you to Hebrews 11. What does the Lord say there in the fifth verse about Enoch? "For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God." And which man is able to please God by anything of himself? Pleasing God. How could we do that? How could we ever be able with something of ourselves? We can only be pleasing God by faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And faith is a gift of God. And if the Lord is going to save a sinner, The Lord shows him from what he is being saved. And he works a godly sorrow with, worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. And thus the Lord makes room in the heart for Christ and his work and all his merits. And in this way, Enoch was thought to seek salvation outside of himself in the promised one, in Christ, whose appearance he longed for. So that this Old Testament text comes close to us this morning, isn't it? Because walking with God says something about Enoch, but it says also something about God. When Enoch walked with God, God walked with Enoch. And isn't that true also this morning, that God is in our midst walking through the pew? Because it is said of the Lord Jesus that he walked on the banks of the Jordan River. Why? That he should draw disciples towards him and to him, that they might come unto him. And after his ascension into heaven, we read that he is walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, in the midst of his congregation. Why? To look unto that congregation, to see what is wrong, what is good, to call them by the call of the gospel towards him. He walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks with the same question the Lord already asked the first man, Adam: where art thou? And with that voice that calls to repentance: repent, turn ye from ye evil ways, for why will ye die? What a grace. This holy God who will bring judgment upon this world still descends so deep towards sinners to call them, to stretch out his hand and to say, I will walk with thee. The holy God wants to walk with you, wants to walk with me. If the Lord speaks, by the power of the Holy Spirit, hearts will be opened. And when he starts to speak about sin and grace and guilt and reconciliation, when he starts to speak about his love for sinners, do you know something about that for yourself? That the Lord started to speak into your lives, that you discover what you are missing without God. Enoch discovered, I cannot stand before a holy God in this sinful world because I take part of this, I'm being part of this sinful world. He discovered that he was in need of God's grace and forgiveness. And when these questions arise in your heart, that you went to somebody else, a godly person, and to ask him or her, how do I get through faith? How do I get forgiveness of my sins? How can I walk with God? That you went to an Opa Adam and a grandfather Enos. And may I ask you, if one of our young children or young people will get these questions, young people, do you have something to go to? Is there something you can ask these questions to? If you get that question in your heart, I cannot stand before the righteous God because of all my sin, is there somebody in your life you can ask to help? Yes, you can always go, and you should go in prayer towards God and come unto him with your questions. But is there someone in your life to be a guide, to take you by the hand and to lead you to Christ? May I ask it, the older people in the church, are you such a guide for the young people? That they can see what it is to walk with God. What it is to live a converted life, dependent on grace. That they can see what it is, true faith. That they don't not only see church-going families, but that they see people who walk with God. That they can see in your life how good it is to walk with God. Do we seek these things ourselves as parents, as grandparents? That we trust the complete Word of God in His threats and condemnation about my sins, in His promises of salvation and forgiveness, with a faith that takes refuge in Him and pleads with Him, faith that pours out the heart before the Lord, hiding not one sin, but surrender completely to the Lord in a walk that needs God in every step. Maybe there is someone who says, Reverend, I doubt if the Lord still wants to walk with me because my life is full of sin. My brother or sister, this is exactly the reason why God is still sending His servants with the task to call, to invite, to draw you unto Him. Because He walks between the candlesticks, because He longs for sinners to repent and that they flee unto Him and that they start walking with Him. He is so willing to do that. He wants to walk with such a people as we are. Isn't that a miracle of grace? Therefore, He has this gospel being preached. That you listen to His voice, that you repent on His voice, that He, by His grace and by His Holy Spirit, creates and stimulates faith and trust in our hearts. And Enoch walked with God. Can it be said of us that others may see it as well in our lives, that we hate and avoid sin, that we warn against sin, because by doing sin we cannot exist before God when He comes to judgment? That we learn that prayer that belongs to true faith and true conversion, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That we walk with God, not only on the Lord's Day, but on every day of the week, in my family, at my work. Enoch did it for 300 years, all the days after he got his first son, all the days after he started to love God and love his service. Is that in our life also present, following, listening, praying? The people in the age of Enoch knew it from him. Enoch, that man that walks with God, he's different. Do they know it from us? Do our children see that we are different because of our walk with God, our contact with the living Word? And remember, contact with the living Word is more than just reading the Word. It has everything to do with a relationship. If a boy and a girl have contact, that's more than looking to each other from the other side of the street once in a while, isn't it? To have contact means you listen, you ask, you speak. There is contact in a sense that it forms you in a way to please the other. Is your contact with the Word of God forming you in a way that you want to please God? Has everything to do with your closet where you can meet with God in all tranquility and listen to His voice. And going into your closet, you can do it for 300 years and you won't get enough of it, really. It's nothing too long, because if the Lord opens His heart towards a sinner and shows a sinner what is in his heart for a sinner, and then He opens His treasury with all the treasures that Christ has earned by His death on the cross, and then He shows you His love through Christ and what Christ has done for you, you can dwell in your closet for 300 years, for eternity. My soul will never get enough of it. There's peace. There's joy. There's salvation. There's comfort. There's Christ with His fulfilled work. And Enoch walked with God. And then? And he was not. For God took him. Enoch did not see death. God took him unto Himself. Enoch was brought home like he walked with God. And then there came a moment that God said, Enoch, here is my house. Get in. I'll bring you home. Like he has lived, he was taken into glory. In the strength of his life, the Lord took him home. He didn't have to experience the painful separation of body and soul. He all of a sudden, the Lord said to him, Enoch, put down your pilgrim's robe. And here is the garment of the feast. Enter in the rest that remains for my people. And they began to marry. May we ask each other the question, with who do we walk? With whom do we walk? Please, if you're still walking with the world, quit today. Because you will perish with this world. The world that then was overflowed with water and perished. But Peter says and warns us, this world which is now is kept in store reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. This will be your future. If you walk with the world, for all those who do not repent, think of that and seek the Lord. Seek His grace to have your sins forgiven in the blood of Christ. With whom do you walk? It's not a question if you know these things in the same measure as Enoch did, because God goes with His people His own way. But it is a question if you know something of that life of Enoch. Where does your heart long for? Does your heart long for the Lord and His companion? Does it long for His presence? Can you sing with the poet of Psalm 84, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." If you've seen your need in your misery in a right way and plead for mercy, did it bring you, did it draw you at the feet of Jesus, who is a perfect Savior? If you may say yes, then your life is hid with Christ in God. And what could be said of Enoch will be said of your future. No, not that people say all of a sudden, "Where is he or she?" And that the witness is he or she is not. No. I think we will have to die. And my dead body has to be buried. But if they have to bury my dead body, when Christ did not return yet on our earthly existence, but if that happens, when my body has to die and they have to carry it out and to put it in a grave, if my life is hid with Christ in God, I will hear these words: "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." If you have walked with God in your life, you may be with him in eternity, because whosoever believes in Jesus Christ shall live, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Who will walk with the Lord may fall asleep in Christ and will be brought home by the Lord himself. The Lord has such a pleasure in walking with young people, with old people. He takes such a pleasure in walking with every one of us that he reaches out this morning. And he let me bid you be reconciled with God. And as much as you wish it for those you love, because it is so good to walk with the Lord, the Lord even wishes it more than a father can wish it for his children. So the Lord walks in our midst by his word and spirit. And he works through his word and spirit. And he takes sinners by their hand and he leads them through this life and he prepares them for eternity. And nobody is too wicked, too sinful to be saved. The Lord wants to walk with even the greatest of sinners to save him or her, to bring him or her home. Blessed is the people that walk with the Lord and are being led by him and brought home. While this world perishes, they will be brought to the new heaven and the new earth. And there they may finally say it in a perfect way of and in a perfect experience: "I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.